The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
I wrote to you in your worship prep email that I wanted to talk today about thin places. I also want only, if I can, let's see how disciplined I am, to just speak with you for about 10 or 12 minutes because I want to spend some extended time today around the table. We have some special needs in our congregation, but you probably have heard the phrase thin place. In Celtic tradition, a thin place is a place, and I'll describe a couple of them, and we'll see some in Scripture, where the veil that separates heaven and earth is nearly transparent. Have you heard this phrase before, thin place? So imagine for a moment that this thin, T-H-I-N, place, where we experience a deep sense of God's presence in our everyday world. I forget who the author is who says that on Easter Sunday morning, the veil between here and eternity thins to gossamer. And it's almost as if you can step through to the other side, a thin place. A thin place is where, for a moment, the spiritual world and the natural world intersect. There's a Celtic saying that heaven and earth are only about 3 feet apart, but in the thin places, that distance is even smaller. So again, it's the notion that the veil that separates here and eternity is thin. It's thin. I want to tell you about a thin place that I experienced one time. You might think of a thin place as a beautiful, you know, garden or a grotto with a waterfall or something like that. But one of the most powerful times that I ever experienced a thin place was when I went to university in Manchester, England. And I told you, I think before, that Psalm 139 was my go-to psalm. Because here's this little East Tennessee kid who's never been away from home or much out of the country, who finds himself on the far side of the sea, as Psalm 139 says, "Even if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." Boy, I held on to that. Because this was before the interwebs. This was before Skype and email and FaceTime. And I had to feed a phone pound coins every Friday to talk to mom and dad for about 10 minutes. One day, though, in my depression and sadness, I fell off into a deep sleep. You know those deep, deep sleeps where you wake up and you know you're awake, but it's still, there's a heaviness there. And for a few moments, it feels groggy. But then, brothers and sisters, you realize that there's another kind of heaviness there, too. Not of an evil kind, but of the weight of God's glory. I hope that you have experienced this. And I became increasingly aware that I was in a thin place. I was in my little room, eighth floor, eighth room, in Moberly Tower on Oxford Road in Manchester, England. Traffic going. But it was the oddest thing. It was beautiful. And I wasn't afraid. But the room got very heavy. Do you know what I'm talking about? And I just wanted to bow because I was in the presence of a holy God. Heavy. And I don't know how to describe it except that the surrounding sounds began to diminish. It was as if somebody took a big volume knob and went. But all of my senses were heightened. And the air seemed electric, sparkly, shimmery even. And the first thought that occurred to me is, not unlike Peter, let us build 3 tents and we will stay here. Because I'm just dumb. But then in effect, God said to me in a holy way, shut up. And I just sat in the thin place. I sat in the presence of God. And in that moment, I knew that everything was going to be okay. And he was with me. Thin place. I hope that you've experienced a thin place. Listen, and I say it from experience, You're going to have to probably shut up to hear it and to see it. But the Spirit blows where He will. I don't fully understand how or why these things happen. I was in another thin place this week because I believe that thin places occur, yes, in grottos and waterfalls, also in room 88 on Oxford Road in Moberly Tower. And they happen on Easter Sunday morning, like the author says. But they also happen, beloved, in the room where a believer is dying. And this week, I went to see Terry Shirley. And I tell you, I stepped into that room and I thought, it just hit you. You ever been there? Similar thing? It's a thin place where the distance between here and there just thins out to gossamer. Well, there are a couple of descriptions today of some thin places in your scripture that I want to show you before we spend some extended time in another thin place, that is, at the table of the Lord. And I first want you to turn to Genesis. Do you see that passage listed there? Genesis 32. You know the story. It's where Jacob wrestles with God. God had to tell Jacob to shut up, too. Look at verse 22 and following. And think of it in terms of a thin place, would you? And ask yourself this question. What happens in thin places? What kind of stuff happens? What do you see happening in a thin place? Verse 22, that night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And after he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. By the way, when your hip's out of socket, all you can do is hang on to your opponent. Think about that just a second. Oh, beloved, that'll preach right there. Are you getting it? Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. "Trickster." Jacob means trickster. One who usurps. And the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob or trickster. Your name will no longer be usurper, but your name will be Israel." What does Israel mean? Struggles with God. Did you know that? "Because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask me my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." Peniel means face of God. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of the hip. And therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched at this place. Question, what happens in this thin place? Name some things. What happened in this thin place? Well, first of all, would you agree with me that it was a thin place? Yeah. God shows up. It's a thin place. The distance between heaven and earth thins to gossamer. The Celts say that there's only 3 feet of space that separates here and there, but in thin places it's even more narrow. So yeah, this is a thin place. What happened? God changed him. God changed his name. You realize, of course, that's important covenant formulary there. Many times in covenant, you get a name change. What happens when you get married? There's a name change. It's a covenant. Good. What else happened? He saw God face to face. Wow. That happened in my thin place in room 88 of Moberly Tower on Oxford Road in Manchester, England. What else happened in this thin place? Did you hear that? He was alone. He was separated from the people he loved and the stuff that he loved, and he had worked real hard to acquire. He was alone. Yes, there's a blessing in thin places. There's also potential pain in thin places. He got hurt. And a reminder of that went with him the rest of his life. You might wrestle with God in a thin place. And it might be, in fact, I hope it is, that you are so sapped of your own strength in the thin place that all you can do is hold on to your, quote, adversary. Yes, ma'am. She says, "How do you know if you're obeying or struggling?" Did I get that right? Another translation is contend with. I'm not sure the answer to that. But it does remind me that God wants not only obedient followers, but ones who will work with him and he can work with. Yes. Richard says that Jacob wouldn't release the man until he got the blessing. Question, have you ever in a thin place held on to God and said, I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me? That didn't happen necessarily in my thin place, but I remember being overpowered with the presence of the Lord. And it did feel lonely, but in a good way, separated from all the stuff that I had cared about or accumulated. There's another thin place that happens in the gospel for today. Turn to Matthew, please. Matthew 14. We read about Jesus feeding the 5,000. While you're finding that, let me tell you about a little place that is the traditional location of the feeding of the 5,000. It's a little town called Tabqa, and it's on the Sea of Galilee. And if you think of Lake Tahoe, long up about what would be in the northwest corner, Tahoe City? Now that's where Tabqa is, on the Sea of Galilee, up in the northwest corner. And it is the traditional location of Jesus feeding the 5,000. By the way, beautiful story. In the 4th century, there was a little church there that had beautiful mosaic floors. And this floor was recently discovered. Comparatively recently discovered. And they discovered in this mosaic in the floor of the church a beautiful picture of fish and loaves. And our own communion ware is a kind of a reproduction of that mosaic floor there in the town of Tabqa on the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee, where one time heaven and earth came together. Verse 13, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Isn't that interesting? At the beginning of this thin place encounter, Jesus withdraws to a solitary place. And hearing this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd and he had compassion on them. You ought to circle that word, by the way. We don't have time to talk about it, but the Greek is esplanisthi. It's a deep, gut-level, gut-wrenching pouring out of compassion that you feel down deep. And he healed their sick. And as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. And Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Bring them to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people, and they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Would you agree with me that this is a thin place? I think you can make the case for saying that. Question, what happened in this thin place? Where heaven and earth come together, where the distance between here and there thins to gossamer. What happened in this thin place? Tell me. Jesus has a gut-level compassion on his own creation. Good. What else? People were fed. Their need, basic need, their need was met and healed. More than their basic needs were met. Do you see transformation in both of these thin places? What kind of transformation happens? In the first one, Jacob is changed. In the second one, what transformation is there? Lori says, we come to a greater understanding of who God is. There's some transformation, yes? God is unlimited. We learn that in a thin place. There's action going on. It's not devoid of action, this thin place. Ellen, what else happens in a thin place? Oh, that's good. Creation itself is blessed and transformed in a thin place. Here's a question for you. Terry Shirley is right now in a thin place. What's happening there? What's going on there? Jesus is standing there in his resurrection power. Is transformation going on? You better believe it. Is healing taking place? Yes. In that place where the distance between here and there is thinning to gossamer. What else is happening right now in that thin place? All of the promises that God made to her are being fulfilled. She's living and dying proof that we are members of the kingdom and God's got this and he's redeeming all of the created order back to himself. The created order is being transformed right there in that thin place. I want us to pray and spend a few moments before table, and then we will have the table together, and then I want there to be plenty of time for us to linger around the table. Because, beloved, every Sunday morning, listen carefully, every Sunday morning, we get to see and experience and step into a thin place when we come here. Do you get that? And most especially thin is this space here where Jesus himself shows up in his resurrection power, standing among us, and transforms us and feeds us and renews covenant with us. And by the way, all of the saints who have gone before us are also here. Do you understand that? And we get to be with our loved ones imperfectly, but as a foretaste of what will be when we gather around the table of the Lord, because we are having communion with the church writ large in this thin place.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.